The views and opinions expressed on the following program are those of the host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the policy or position of ONTV's management, staff, or board of directors.
Detroit basketball!
And hello and welcome into Views from the Sidelines. We got a special guest today, my brother Jordan Tysik.
Thank you guys for having me.
That's Malik Hill. I'm Joey Tysik.
That means this is going to be a classic. That's what that means.
Yeah, we had to bring a guest in for this one. We have a couple news and notes to hit on, and then we're going to get into some of our most hated athletes, sports figures, or coaches, if you have them. So it's going to be a fun episode of probably a lot of back and forth. So real quick. A couple things that happened recently. Jaylen Brown got a $300 million supermax from the Celtics. They got it done. The money is crazy in the NBA right now. But Malik, how do you feel about this?
The system is broken. It doesn't make any sense paying a player. Jaylen Brown is an all-star. He averages 26 a game. He should get respect as a player.
Mm-hmm.
But that money, that type of money should be reserved for the top five, most likely like top three players in the league. Players past that shouldn't even sniff $300 million. Like, I remember when we thought Mike Conley getting 5 years, 150 something was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
This is that on steroids.
Yeah.
This is like, it's hard to wrap your head around it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not too long ago either when John Wall signed his gigantic extension.
He was like the franchise face, though.
Yeah.
And we didn't know all those injuries were coming, so it kind of made sense at the time.
Mm-hmm. Jordan, what do you think about Jaylen Brown and just getting this much money?
It does feel exactly like the Mike Conley deal, but I'm just glad the Pistons didn't get suckered into paying Jaylen Brown something.
I agree. Listen, we dodged DeAndre Ayton.
Yep, now let's dodge
We dodged Jaylen Brown. Good decisions.
Yep.
Very good decisions.
And then the other sort of big one, Justin Herbert also got paid, going along with the young quarterbacks getting paid. Recently, he got a 5-year, $262.5 million contract extension. Jordan, is Justin Herbert worth that much?
I don't think so. I don't think he's proven nothing. I mean, he's thrown for a bunch of yards and everything, but he hasn't won very many games or nothing. Just seems very odd to pay a guy that much money before they're actually that guy.
Yeah, it seems like each quarterback is getting higher and higher every time. So now the next domino to fall is Joe Burrow. Malik, does that kind of money make sense for you, for Justin Herbert?
To me, it does make sense, partly because as we see the running back market like going down more and more and just continuing to decrease, I think the quarterback position was naturally going to increase in terms of money. No matter what you think, he is a borderline like top six, top seven quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And in today's game, there's no way you can't give that quarterback that type of money.
Yeah.
Like Daniel Jones got 160, and we all, what was it, 180 actually? What type of money did Daniel Jones get? It was between like 160 and it was stupid money. Daniel Jones got money he didn't deserve.
Yeah.
He had a decent season and one good playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
And they paid him like he's the franchise guy.
Yeah. Deshaun Watson still has the most guaranteed money.
Yeah, he was coming off of all of that in Houston, plus the controversy in Cleveland. That's a Cleveland thing, so that's kind of different. But, yeah, the way the quarterback market is, and I think Justin Herbert, if he hadn't thrown as many yards and for as many touchdowns as he has,
mm-hmm.
I don't think the Chargers would have made the playoffs or gotten close to the playoffs in the past few years. They do have a talented roster, but Joey Bosa gets hurt every other year. Derwin James gets hurt every other year. Austin Eckler is consistent. Mike Williams gets hurt. Keenan Allen, like all of their best players, usually have injuries that slow them down.
Yeah.
Plus, Brandon Staley isn't that great of a coach.
Mm-hmm.
So Justin Herbert is like, he's the one steady thing when everything is like chaotic around him. No. So I give him credit for that.
And the last big bit of news, your team, Malik.
My team?
They got caught.
Jim
Harbaugh.
Did they really?
Suspended for 4 games. The first 4 games of the college football season. How does that make you feel?
It's
recruiting
stupid.
Violations.
It's stupid. If it's over the cheeseburger thing, buying a cheeseburger for a kid, I really just the NCAA just picks and chooses what they want to do at this point.
Yeah,
and I just don't understand suspending Jim Harbaugh 4 games for something like that when there are much bigger things going on that they just like shove under the table at this point. Now that NIL is a part of everything, it's basically the Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
So for them to give him a 4-game suspension, that makes it seem like it's very serious, and it's not that serious. What he did wasn't that serious.
Yeah.
Don't forget they were watching film during COVID too.
Hey, listen. I can't even pretend. It's ridiculous.
So the saving grace here. I don't know what Michigan's schedule is, but it's got to be a cakewalk.
It's
first 4 games.
East
right?
Carolina, UNLV.
Exactly.
I think Indiana and Bowling Green.
Like, we're talking about college football here. The first 4 games do not matter. I think Michigan will be just fine. Jim Harbaugh will be coming back. Maybe they'll get fired up because of it, and it's just no big deal. It's a flawed system. I don't get it. I just wanted to hear your take on it.
I'm not going to go crazy with the takes like everybody else and say, like, there should be an investigation on the NCAA. We all know the NCAA is terrible.
Yeah.
They have been for years now. Mm-hmm. So it's not a huge surprise, but it's still just like what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Like, what is the point of this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, it's one of those things that I would assume everybody's doing it, but some people get caught and some people don't. And that's the sad truth. Is there anything else that you guys can think of that came up this week in sports? Those were all I had, but.
Anything big? I would say prayers to Bronny James.
And the James family. Right. I meant to write that down.
Yeah, Bronny went into cardiac arrest during a workout with UCLA. I mean, USC this week. Luckily, he's out of ICU and they say he's doing all right now, but
yeah.
It's pretty scary. So. Yeah, thinking about Bronny James.
And, it's a spooky thing to see any athlete go down on the court. The one thing I do want to say is in this scenario, I really hate that it's brought back all the vaccine talk.
Oh, yeah. It's every time it does, it happens.
And, you know, I'm all for, like, doing medical research and, you know, people that are nervous about specific things or whatever. But this is one of those cases where there is evidence that this has happened throughout history where guys have collapsed on the court due to cardiac arrest that should be in good shape. It's just one of those weird oddities that happens in sports a lot more than I think people realize. It's a sad thing to see, and it's going to be interesting to see what the James family decides to do. Like, okay, so that's the thing I wanted to talk about because I heard this on the radio. Like, does LeBron just say, hey, you know, we're set for life. Like, you don't have to play basketball anymore. But also on the other hand, like, you want to see your kid go out and maybe prove himself. Because, you know, there's a lot of doubters for Bronny James. I'm even sort of one of them that, you know, he wants to prove to himself and get back out there. They said he's cleared to do it. But, like, that's a scary thing. What do you think you would do, like, in that scenario? I know it's hard to, like, put yourself in that shoe, but
honestly, seeing the type of dude LeBron is, I feel like he's gonna leave it up to Bronny, because if he's passionate about the game and this is what he wants to do for a living and wants to keep getting better and just play basketball, he'll probably let him like keep going.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he'll just like force him to sit out or anything.
Yeah,
I would probably leave it up to my son if it was my son.
Yeah. Jordan, since you're a injury-prone player,
crazy segue.
Injuries.
All I'm saying is, like, would there be, like, a breaking point for you to stop playing if they kept clearing you?
I mean, for me personally, if I was in that situation, yeah, I could probably stop playing. just because that's a pretty serious thing. This kind of reminds me, I don't know how similar it is to Shaquille's son, Sharif. Had, I don't know if he had a heart attack, but I know he has heart issues. And I don't believe he's still trying. Is he still trying to get into the league?
I don't think
he had a little. He had a summer league stint with the Lakers, I think, last year.
Mm-hmm.
But yes,
I mean, I could see Bronny coming back and trying to play, but I don't know if it's actually, because now a lot of people are saying this isn't even going to hurt his draft stock. I know that's sad to say, but
yeah,
it is a factor.
Right? People would be nervous because they don't want to be the team that drafts him and then he honestly dies on the court. That's happened before.
Oh, and that's why I bet USC this year. I bet he barely plays.
Yeah, I think as an organization and stuff, they would be very nervous to put him on the court. So no matter how he feels necessary, there will be some limiting factors probably. So, yeah, hopefully he can figure it out. And, yeah, it's scary. I can't imagine. Okay, so then let's get on to the fun part of hating on people. I don't know how to word it. So we all have kind of a top five roundabout. We'll go through some honorable mentions maybe, and then we'll just kind of go back and forth. So, Malik, I think you have the most honorable mentions today. So if you want to start and give a couple, go for it.
So I'll start with a few athletes. One that I was like borderline not going to put on my list, even an honorable mention. I just felt like putting it there because he's a guy with a ton of talent. And it just never came all the way together. A lot of people think it's because of, like, he just wasn't, like, mentally built to be great. Jay Cutler. I feel like he should have been a guy that was, like, 5-6-time Pro Bowler. One more games, one more. And he came up short all the time. And he's almost the Bears, like, greatest quarterback in franchise history, which is depressing.
Yeah.
But it's... Yeah, he was pretty good for the Bears, but it just never came all the way together. And his talent was kind of like a waste.
So you just hated him because of that?
That's why I said it was borderline. Like, I hate wasted talent.
I love Jay Cutler.
Wasted talent annoys me. That's why, also, like, Carson Wentz is an honorable mention for me. I was a big fan of Carson Wentz, and everything just went out the window within, like, a few years. And now he can barely be a starting quarterback. So I'm not a fan of Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
One more athlete, Aaron Kraft. Starting quarterback for Ohio State in the early 2010s.
Wait, what?
What?
Quarterback?
I mean point guard, not quarterback, point guard. I also have a Ohio State quarterback on my list, so starting point guard for Ohio State in the early 2010s. I hated the way he played. He did play hard, and he was crappy.
It's because he's a pest. He's one of those pest players.
Like, when he shot, it looked terrible. Whenever he made a dribble move, it didn't look good. But he was a good point guard. And it just made me mad whenever he played Michigan.
Yeah.
And
see, I didn't like him either, but I didn't like, for me, no college player really made my list because, like, you don't see him for very long. So even though Aaron Kraft was there for the full 4 years, like, after that, you don't have to see him anymore. So it wasn't like, I don't develop that big of a hate that fast, I guess.
Yeah. And then a few more guys outside of athletes. James Dolan. The New York Knicks owner, as long as I've been alive, but until these last, like, 2 years, he has done nothing but terrorize New York Knicks fans and allow horrible decisions and horrible moves to be made over and over and over again. And I think the worst part about James Dolan is when fans criticize him. He kicks them out the arena.
Yeah.
He will literally make fans leave if they say something bad about him. And to me, that's – you can't admit your faults and you're just – can't stand James Dolan. And then, this is very specific. Jerry Jones, after his last Super Bowl in 1997, he took more control of the organization. They've been a joke ever since. He still acts like they're contenders every year. They still act like they should win the Super Bowl every year. He thinks every decision they make is the right one. And it's a joke. And I hope they keep losing as long as he's in control.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah, I hate everything they stand for.
Jordan, is there anybody that you want to mention before you get into more of your top guys?
Yeah, I will say one for an honorable mention, and this used to be one of my favorite players ever, is Blake Griffin.
Because of the Pistons stint?
Oh, definitely because of the Pistons stint.
Okay, and you got to explain this one. This is the argument. You got to explain
this. I know why.
So everyone always argues that he gave like his greatest season to us and worked so hard to drag us to the playoffs and everything, which is great.
Yes.
But then took us completely give up on the team and then never play again, never even attempt to do anything for the Pistons. You're telling that's better?
Get zero dunks, and then the first game that you get traded,
First game that you play against the Pistons, you ram one. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Listen, there's a little there was a little bit of shade at the end.
There was a slap in the face there.
I don't doubt that. Yeah, he played great for the Pistons, sure, but he was just doing that so he could get another big contract. It wasn't like he was doing it for the city of Detroit.
I don't think that's the only reason. If he was just trying to get a big contract, I don't know, man. I don't blame Blake Griffin for basically sitting things out once it was clear nothing good was going to happen for
reminded me of is the kids that would like run sprints in basketball practice and then they're dead last every single time, then the last one they sprint it really hard to win.
He gave his everything for that whole season. It's not
and
like
then,
he
and then
breaks.
Gave up. So he ran the first sprint really hard.
He pretty much
took his shoes off.
He pretty much like did damage to his knees playing in the playoffs. So that's the part where I think the contract thing is kind of iffy, because his knees haven't fully recovered from what trying to give his hardest in those playoffs since. He still dunked, but he wasn't Blake Griffin from that point on.
I guess. When he went to the Nets, he looked pretty good.
Yeah.
he was good off the bench, but he was never going to be that level of player again.
No, I don't believe so, but still, I don't like the way that he left the Pistons.
I guess. Okay.
My honorable mentions all kind of revolve around the same idea. I hated them at one point in time. They didn't last long enough to make my actual five. So my first honorable mention is Dylan Brooks. Have fun in Houston. That's all I got to say. We'll see how he reacts then. He could make it to my list if he keeps it up. LeBron is on my list for honorable mentions. I couldn't put him in the top five. As much as I didn't like him when I was younger, he's never done anything wrong. He's a good player. I hate to say it. Like, the only reason I hate him is because, one, he played for Cleveland. Two, he played for the Lakers. And three, he built the South Beach team or whatever. And the whole announcement, that was just a lot. So as weird as, you know, things that he says or whatever, I can't hate him that much, I guess. Robert Horry is on my honorable mentions. I hate him as a Laker, hate him as a Spur.
Why'd you hate him as a Laker? I can understand the Spur part.
I didn't like the Lakers. I can't like the Lakers. And so...
Has that always been a thing?
Mm-hmm. I like Kobe, I do, but I can't...
Okay.
Even, like, Kobe was never, like, my favorite player because of he's a Laker. It's just how it is.
I hate the Lakers now, so.
Yeah. And my other honorable mention that was very, 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 very close to making my top five. Not only did I hate him as a coach, but I also hate him as an announcer. Stan Van Gundy, get out of here. I don't know why they brought him back to announcing. He's awful to listen to. I understand he knows a lot about the game. That's fine.
Sure.
I just can't stand him. So he's on my honorable mention.
Just build a wall.
Yeah. It's awful. And his brother Jeff, if he wasn't retiring or possibly going back into coaching, I have not liked his announcing either in the last few years. Anyway, Malik, you're number five.
My number five is somebody you just mentioned. And it's a weird reasoning because, like you, I don't hate him as much as I used to. It's LeBron James.
Mm.
I couldn't stand him when I was younger.
Yeah.
There were several reasons. I was a Kobe guy. He was my favorite player. From like 06 to like 2011, I was a Lakers fan. I loved that roster and how they played and how they were coached, and Kobe was my guy.
Yeah.
And to me, LeBron just represented like being handed not everything in life.
Yeah.
But in terms of like gifts as an athlete.
Yeah.
He just floated above everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to me it was like he barely tried. He just got a basketball and dribbled through people and took off from the free throw line.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just, Like, I like watching Kobe. I like the skill, every like the artistry, how hard he plays.
Yeah.
I loved Kobe.
And the man is now approaching 40 and has not fallen off nearly what anybody else has ever fallen.
It doesn't burn me as much as it used to, but it still annoys me.
Yeah.
That he's a Greek god that just barely ages.
Yeah.
And when he went to Miami, I started hating him less.
Yeah.
I kind of enjoyed watching LeBron in Miami.
I think I hated him more in Miami. I think Miami was the peak for me.
When he won in OKC, I was happy for him.
So I hate him in Cleveland because he ended the going to work Pistons.
That too. I was also a Pistons fan in the legendary game.
He went to Miami, that was a whole different ballgame.
All I had to say is 27 straight at the Palace.
Exactly.
That's enough for me.
Heartbreaker. Yeah. But yeah, I started hating him less in Miami. When he went home to Cleveland, I was like, this is pretty cool. He won one in Cleveland. I was happy for him. And then
I didn't like him when he came back either.
What revigorated my like slight hate, not all the way to LeBron, but his fan base became the worst fan base in sports to me. Mm-hmm. And yeah. being somebody that goes on sports Twitter every day, it burns my soul seeing how unnecessarily hard people like defend his legacy and who he is as a person. He's a great person. What he's done throughout his life has been incredible. But listen, man, when we're talking about basketball conversations, I don't want to hear about the I Promise School. I don't want to hear about his family. I don't want to hear about anything but who he destroyed on the court. And his fans want to talk about who he is as a person and how great he is. And, oh, my God, it's LeBron. I don't care. I don't care. Who did you destroy? And that's why I prefer my flaws and all. I love Michael Jordan. I love Kobe. I like killers, assassins. Mm-hmm. I don't care about your school. I don't care about your positivity. I want you to destroy. That's what I love.
Mm-hmm.
And LeBron cares most about his legacy
and
second about killing.
Mm-hmm.
Like he wants everybody to
be his fan.
Yeah. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He works too hard to be accepted, which I can get. Like
that, in a general statement, he cares so much about being accepted.
Yeah. And right now, Twitter is the worst for LeBron because you have the LeBron fans joining in with the Lakers fans, and that is just terrible chemistry right there. Jordan, what's your number five or your first guy you want to talk about?
So I would have put LeBron on my top five, but I think we all kind of understand why. I could go on and on and on about LeBron hate. But for my five, I'll put Reggie Jackson on it. I'll stay with a little bit of the Pistons hatred.
Oh, this is a good one.
I just can't even stand to watch him play basketball, to be 100% honest. It's just the epitome of hero basketball. And
can I ask you a
question? He's a great scorer. He's a great, phenomenal scorer.
I've had this argument with Joey many times before.
That's my brother right there.
His first season in Detroit, he got hurt and all the extra stuff started.
Mm-hmm.
How did you think about him that first season when they made the playoffs and he was just playing good basketball?
He reminded me of like a worse Russell Westbrook. It's going to be him or nothing, which kind of worked for us at the time because we had Andre Drummond. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, do your thing, and Andre will kind of get the rebound and put it back in.
Because he was producing, I had no problem with it.
But I think the problem was then it showed when we went to that Cleveland series and he tried to play hero ball when we could have probably won the game.
They were in every game.
Yeah, we could have won.
They didn't get blown out any game.
But he would, the last 2 minutes, it felt like he was trying to do everything, and it's just turnover.
And see, that's where I always felt justified when I always said we cannot have Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson be our two best players.
Exactly.
I agree with that.
And they
those can't
and
be
they
two
were
best
somehow
players.
Doing it, though, right. Was the problem.
And that's why it just felt like they got exposed at some point. I could go on and on about
Reggie
Jackson.
I think it was the fact that he got the Pistons, him and I guess Andre Drummond. But I really appreciated the fact that Reggie got the Pistons back to the playoffs.
Brandon Jennings got us back to the playoffs. We're not doing this. Started.
We are not.
When they were on that streak where they didn't win. They didn't lose.
We're not listening to
They didn't lose for like 2 weeks.
Not saying Reggie Jackson was very. He did play his heart out again. But look at it again. Look at him now, though.
Yeah,
he doesn't
yeah.
even play.
As soon as he got,
he's
hurt.
On the championship
you,
team though.
Yeah,
gets a ring.
Did you see him on the Nuggets stage? He just did not look like he cared.
No,
that happened. That happens for most players.
I get it because he didn't play, but
yeah. Which again, I think he just love. He wants to get his.
Yeah,
which I can appreciate as well, but it's not going to.
I've said it
to
multiple times,
especially in Detroit.
I used to do this fun bet with the Nuggets because the Nuggets had Ish Smith, Bruce Brown, and Reggie Jackson. I did this fun parlay bet that I would do every once in a while where I would do each guy hits two threes or something like that. Reggie Jackson, every time I did it, there was one game he went 0 for 5 from the three, 0 for 6, and 1 for 7. Those were his stat lines when I did that. Like, those were the times that he got the most playing time. Wild. I hate that guy. I never thought I could do that to... especially a Pistons point guard. It was rough. My number five, I know this is going to hurt a lot of people, going to hurt a lot of souls. I'm glad Joe didn't join us today because he would have been sad about this. My number five is Tom Brady.
Oh, I can't get what you hear, sir.
I know.
I can't do it.
And it's another one of those things that it's a me thing, and I get that. He's a great player. He really impressed me when he went to Tampa Bay and proved that he could do it without the Patriots. Because for a long time, I thought, you know, the Patriots, along with his ability, just paired really well. But watching him in Tampa Bay, some of the throws he was still able to make, even at the end of his career, were impressive. However, I just generally, you know me, I start to get a hate towards guys that are always winning, guys that are always there, getting all the attention. Aaron Rodgers almost made my list because of this too, because all of a sudden this year, everybody's like, oh, Aaron Rodgers can take the Jets to the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers is still a top five quarterback, which I don't feel like he's proved it. Tom Brady, time and time again, people will be like, he's still got it. He can do it. And he kind of ran out of gas. Yes, he had to do a lot for the teams, but I didn't like him. And I hate to say it, everybody thought that he was perfect. He's not another one of those perfect guys. He had some issues with his family life. And I just don't like when people put people into this bubble of like, everything's perfect, they're perfect, their game is perfect. I don't know. It's just annoying to me. I get that it's a very me thing. But
I don't think Tom Brady ever came off as perfect, really.
I think Tom Brady is perfect.
Like when you see him like throwing iPads and like going crazy on the sideline is like,
yeah, but see, that's
competitor.
But to me, that's in the moment.
That's a competitor.
That stuff doesn't bother me.
That's why I love like Kobe and like Michael Jordan. I love that.
No,
type
I get that.
Of, yeah,
I
love that stuff.
I like the competitor too. Not what I'm saying. I'm saying like
Tom Brady's above that. Michael and Kobe
as a competitor.
Athlete as ever.
I mean, technically, he's
like
a winner.
Tom Brady's the greatest athlete.
He is
of
like
all time.
The greatest winner. I don't know if he's the greatest athlete per se.
He has the greatest sports like career.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's the greatest
probably say that.
Sports player.
Yeah. Yeah. I could agree with that.
Maybe not athlete, cause
but
if you want to get into that.
Right. That's what I was saying. But it's just a guy that I never enjoyed. I didn't like the Patriots. And he's the face of the franchise, and they were winning all the time, and it's just something I don't like. Which is why I put him in number five.
I never hated the Patriots because I hate like the Cowboys, the Yankees, and the Lakers. I hate fan bases and organizations that expect to win even when it's clear that they don't have what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
Like they just say they're gonna win. Like those are those types of I can't stand those. The Patriots just started winning, and they just kept winning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't mind that. It's those old-school franchises that are just like, we're the best. We're America's team.
Yeah.
Like, the Patriots were America's team, and the Cowboys kept saying they were. So that's why I hated the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind a team just winning.
Yeah. It's just a personal thing. Malik, you're number four.
My number four, I kind of... yeah, like deciding this like last minute. I'm going to go with my number four is an Ohio State quarterback, not point guard.
An actual quarterback?
Ohio State quarterback that really made me mad because Michigan could have beaten him multiple times and probably should have. And he wasn't that great of a quarterback. But he still ended up having an awesome career for Ohio State. And everything just fell into, like, his JT Barrett. Quarterback for Ohio State from, like, 2014 to, like, 17 or 18.
Mm-hmm.
He had an awesome freshman year for Ohio State. I think he, like, broke the record for, like, rushing touchdowns for, like, quarterback or something. He had a whole bunch of all-purpose yards. Really good freshman season. I feel like he never really got that good. I mean, mm-hmm. that much better after his freshman season.
Yeah.
Yet they still figured out ways to beat Michigan, and it pissed me off every time.
Yeah.
Like, 2016, Michigan was better. He was short. JT Barrett was short. Ohio State still ends up winning somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't win the national championship. Even though they're still a great team, JT Barrett wasn't good enough to get them over the hump.
Yeah.
2017, they come to Michigan. They're up 14-0. They're controlling the game. They're obviously, like, better in that game. John O'Korn is the quarterback for Michigan. what do you do? JT Barrett isn't playing that well. They put in Dwayne Haskins in the second half. He plays much better than JT Barrett. Ohio State beats Michigan. Yet JT Barrett is undefeated against Michigan in his career. He has all these stats. He's a great leader. I don't think he was that great of a quarterback. And everything just fell into... I'm so happy he didn't win a national championship because it seems like everything just fell into his hands, and it just made me mad. Michigan should have beat him at least twice. It shouldn't have happened. I couldn't stand JT Barrett when he was at Ohio State.
Unfortunate. Jordan, your next guy or woman.
That is very true. I'm going to stick in basketball. I didn't think I was going to go back-to-back basketball, but my fourth is going to be Ja Morant. I am sick of everything that he's been doing and all the attention that he's been bringing to himself. And for the way that the Grizzlies' whole team talked, they haven't won anything. They haven't done a single thing.
They got ahead of themselves.
The gritting on the floor, the almost dunks repeatedly, he doesn't produce anything. So to hear all the hype, I'm just sick of seeing him. I think it's more of what it is. And I don't even care about any of the gun charge thing. That has nothing to do with it. But just seeing him everywhere is starting to get annoying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just the attitude that they
have. I honestly thought you were going to bring up the gun charge stuff.
Nah, the gun.
Honestly, I didn't. When they were winning and he was gritty, and I think, like, that's just like,
I mean, I get it's the young kid. Their whole team was a very young team, but it seemed very bizarre because the torch hadn't been passed to him yet, and for them to act like it already was theirs was very
I can understand.
That's why that I was glad to see the Warriors kind of still
them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's I always have a trouble. That's why Dylan Brooks almost made my list too, is because, like, I used to be a big fan of the Grizzlies when they had Zach Randolph, Tony Allen. They were just grinding out teams.
Much different team.
Yeah. And now they changed into this, like, weird, young, goofy kind of deal. I don't know.
They're like they're TikTok's team is what it kind of feels like.
Yeah.
Like, they're just, it's just the young generation's team. And I guess I'm not ready for that. Even though I'm part of that generation.
My number four is my only baseball player on the list. Derek Jeter almost made the list.
That would have been fun. I would have loved to be.
I know. Michigan. But the only other guy that I could think of was his teammate, Alex Rodriguez.
Can we shake hands on this one, sir?
Is it the steroids?
I have never. No.
It's the combination. So for me, A-Rod, yes, it's the steroids. Again, it's the guy that was like the face of baseball for a while. He was like this hot young talent that came out, played for the Rangers for a while. And then he goes to the Yankees. And the Yankees for me are like the Lakers and all that stuff. Can't stand them. And then you come to find out that he was part of the steroid era. And so it like diminishes his whole career. But then even after his career, He's dating J-Lo. He's still getting airtime. He's getting on ESPN.
He owns the Timberwolves, so he's going to get airtime. But like, yeah, I understand what you're saying.
It's like he's stayed famous throughout all this crap, and I just don't think he was ever all that crazy. He was a really good, like, he was just a really good first baseman in general, not even just hitting, just fielding and stuff. And then as his career went on, he turned into just a power hitter, and then you find out he does steroids. So you're like, well, what did he do then? And so to me, it's just – the combination of Yankees, and this is when I really, really enjoyed baseball, and he's the guy that was the guy, I guess. So it was easy for me to just hate on because he was everything I didn't want.
Now, I agree with you. To me, Aaron. I don't know. I was thinking of Aaron Judge. I was thinking of another Yankee. Alex Rodriguez, to me, was the example of someone wanting to be a New York athlete so bad.
Yeah.
Like, the player he was when he was younger, like the phenom, that somewhat started going out the window once he became a Yankee. Mm-hmm. Like you said, yeah, he was still hitting homers, and he was still a pretty good player. But, like...
he was good.
It was more about, like, the when newspapers were still a thing.
Yes.
What celebrity was he with at the club this weekend? Yeah.
He wanted the fame.
Yes. It seemed like he cared just as much about the fame as he did, like, winning baseball games.
Mm.
And I can understand why Derek Jeter couldn't stand him after a while because of that. Like, yeah. Derek Jeter was all baseball. Mm. Although, yeah, he still went out in New York sometimes. But he never let that become, like, a major thing.
Yeah.
It seemed like Alex Rodriguez had no problem with that becoming a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that I just couldn't get with it, along with the Yankee stuff. And, yeah. He was just too much.
Yeah.
And a lot of people love him. I don't like those types of dudes.
Yeah.
Like, baseball needs to be more important. He cares so much about being a New York guy.
Malik, you're number three.
My number three is going to be Antonio Brown.
What? Oh, man.
Jordan, a CMU guy.
Antonio Brown is one of the best receivers in NFL history. And it won't ever matter because he completely ruined his career. And that really just bothers me.
Hmm.
It's not anybody else's fault. Yeah. In any way.
You're going to love my next pick, son.
Antonio Brown killed his career. It started with him getting money with Pittsburgh and then falling out with Ben Roethlisberger.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody on the team clearly seeing that his personality was changing.
Yeah.
And nobody like had a problem talking about it. Like, Ryan Clark and several different people have talked about how he changed after he got paid.
Mm-hmm.
He falls out with Ben Roethlisberger. Him and Mike Tomlin stuff like aren't getting along. He's beefing with people on the sidelines. He wants to be traded. Goes to the Raiders.
For a couple days. For a nice vacation.
Freezes his feet.
Demands being able to wear his old helmet that the NFL doesn't allow anymore. Says he might retire because he can't wear his old helmet anymore. Calls Mike Mayock a slur and goes off on him in the office. And then posts a video celebrating in his backyard that the Raiders are releasing him. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Just why from start to finish.
Yep.
And he wanted to go to the Raiders. Goes to the Buccaneers, has his last, like, two good seasons,
Becomes best friends with Tom Brady.
But him and Tom Brady are great. Everything is smooth. They go to New York.
Still had the skill to be a number one receiver anywhere he would have wanted.
And they go to New York, and he gets mad, and he strips naked, and he hypes up the crowd, and he leaves. And that's about it for Antonio Brown, the NFL player.
One of the greatest walk-offs of all time.
We forgot about the small glimpse of him as a Patriot. We don't have to go into all the accusations with that. But, yeah, he blew up his NFL career, started rapping. Everybody started doing his dance. Put that you-know-what on. Good for him with that success, I guess.
Letting it all hang out at the pool.
He bought an arena football team. He didn't play the players. The team is already done. He's trying to go after people's wives and girlfriends. Should I go on?
Yeah.
Should I keep going?
Yeah.
Another victim of the game.
Yep.
And he's not going to be in the Hall of Fame. He is a Hall of Fame receiver. Borderline top five.
Mm-hmm.
And it pisses me off.
Yeah.
I hate it so much.
Unfortunate. Wasted talent, wasted career.
He just tanked his career. Yeah.
Jordan, who's next on your list? Or did you want to say something about
Antonio Brown? I was staying quiet because my third pick does play into factor with Antonio Brown. And shout out to my boy Blake Crawford. He reminded me about this before the podcast. But my number three is Vontaze Burfict.
Oh, man, I love that pick.
Yep. And
that is amazing.
He is the core reason of why Antonio Brown is the way he is.
Some people think that's how it started.
I genuinely believe it. Because ever since, it literally has been the toil down. But he's been a dirty player his whole career.
Yeah.
And I will say I've never been more satisfied than seeing the hit that Juju Smith put on him. There is nothing better. But I will totally say that Vontaze is the reason for Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I could see it. Brown was a smaller receiver, so he's going to take a bigger hit.
You know the craziest part about Vontaze Burfict? All of his teammates and everybody like else in the NFL say he's a great person off the field.
Yeah,
like I've heard everybody say nothing but good things about Vontaze Burfict as a person. It's so insane.
But he puts the helmet on, and he's a weapon.
He is a menace.
He's headhunting.
Yes.
That was all it was.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people say.
But, man.
That's a good pick. I forgot about Vontaze Burfict.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got his way out of the NFL for it. Then
he gets suspended,
indefinitely.
At least, three or four seasons, he got suspended for a few games.
And then his last go-around with the Raiders, he tried to hit someone. They suspended him for indefinitely.
Well, we go from one well-known orange team to the next orange team. And it's not what you guys are thinking. My number three is a NASCAR racer.
Oh, I know.
Number 20 in the orange, Tony Stewart.
You hated Tony Stewart.
I hated Tony Stewart.
There's also a good reason to hate Tony Stewart.
I don't know
that much about inner rivalries and beefs in NASCAR and that stuff. So you got to let me in.
I actually ended up putting a lot of NASCAR guys down that I was thinking of because it's such a heated sport because you're driving around for 4 hours or whatever. But Tony Stewart I hate his nickname, Smoke.
I didn't even know that was his nickname.
I don't think I knew that was his nickname. Yeah, I've been watching NASCAR a long time.
So, back in the day, Tony Stewart was really good. He won a championship. Can't remember if he won a second. But he was just known as the guy that would put people into the wall back then. And that era of NASCAR was when I was probably watching the most. And he just felt like a dirty racer. He was arrogant. He was just everything I don't really like, which I know that a lot of the racers are. Even one of my favorite racers come to find out that he was arrogant and didn't like people. But, I couldn't stand Tony Stewart. And he was kind of like the face of NASCAR for a little while. I just couldn't stand him. I don't know why necessarily, but he just felt like sort of the dirty racer that I just couldn't stand. So, he's my number three.
He also killed a man on the racetrack.
Well, I wasn't going to bring that kind of stuff up.
Well, you're talking about dirty player.
Never mind.
It was on a dirt track. It was on a dirt track.
Oh, okay.
And he
never heard about this.
He bumped somebody, and it ended up killing them.
Jeez.
It wasn't
an aggressive move.
Yeah, obviously, it's not what he meant to do, but it just shows that he was always an aggressive driver. And that's kind of what
was more worried about winning the race than
It's another guy where people say he's great off.
He's in the booth and
stuff, and he does a lot for small dirt tracks because he came up from dirt track racing and he still loves it. So he he gives a lot. So he seems like he's a good guy, but he's one of those guys when he puts the helmet on, he's just a little too aggressive. So didn't like him. Your number two, Malik.
My number two, he's the reason.
I'm just laughing.
he's the reason why I almost completely lost my joy for Michigan football. He's the reason why I pretty much hate Michigan State just as much as Ohio State.
Uh-oh. Careful with your words here.
No.
And now that he's gone, I don't hate him as much as I did, but I was depressed for a very long time because of this man. Mark D'Antonio.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
He was the best coach in the Big Ten. He was one of the best coaches in the country. Yeah. And he was a better coach than Jim Harbaugh.
See, this is my kind of
hate. When Jim Harbaugh first got to Michigan. And that made me want to cry. I hated how great his defenses were. I hated how effective his offenses were. And how he would just embarrass Michigan, whether it was blowing them out or winning in just like miraculous, stupid ways. He would just embarrass Michigan over and over and over and over and over and over and over again from like 2009 to like 2016.
Mm-hmm.
It just wouldn't stop. And this is with Urban Meyer at Ohio State while they're just dominating Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
I hated Mark D'Antonio and Michigan State more because I've said this before on this show. When I started watching Michigan football, to me, it was known that Michigan State wasn't on the level of Michigan.
Yeah.
And when Mark D'Antonio flipped that, my brain couldn't handle the fact that Michigan State was so much better than Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts me to this day.
Yeah.
Like seeing them win the Rose Bowl in 2013.
Spartan dogs.
Hey, he could have been on my list for the way that he left.
Listen,
the
from
school.
From that to I almost can't go on with it.
He came in.
It's just as much hate as like just sadness.
Because
mm-hmm. I truly like there were times where I just didn't want to be a Michigan fan anymore.
Yeah.
Because it was like we need to beat Michigan State. Like this shouldn't be a thing. And it was just a constant thing for like almost a decade.
Mm-hmm.
I hated it. Yep. I hated him and how good he was. I couldn't stand it.
Yeah. Jordan, you're next up.
I thought you were going to go in on Kirk Cousins. And I was going to get a little upset. But this one, everyone's going to be crucifying me for. But my number two is Matthew Stafford. And I think the majority of the reason is the fans. Matthew Stafford has the worst fans in the entire planet.
I have never really...
People go to bat for this guy like he won us World War II or something.
That's another good one.
I see Matthew Stafford fans go to bat for him, but I've never seen them like go super like LeBron level hard.
This is another good one that Joe's not here because Joe's a big Matthew Stafford guy.
I think it's just people don't want to look at what actually happened for a lot of those teams. Like our defense was actually the high point of those teams, and everyone tries to act like we didn't have a good defense when the majority was we didn't have a run game. I understand that.
Yeah.
But
the whole
there was
argument,
a lot of times where Matt Stafford put the game in jeopardy.
Yeah.
And
the whole argument
I'm not saying
that
he was bad.
That he didn't have any help. That's the one that gets me.
That's the one that's what I think more irritates me. It's not like he had a bad team around him. We were a very good football team. There's no one else's fault but the teams.
Well, and the other thing that bothers me, too, about a lot of Matthew Stafford guys, because a lot of people liked Stafford when he was here. Like, I liked him when he was here.
Yeah,
I thought he could have done
he was great when he was
so much better. But there was a lot of people that didn't like him that much, and they said
I know more people that didn't like him.
I know a lot of people, yeah. And see, I knew a lot of people that didn't like him in the moment, and then when he left, they're like, "Oh, he didn't have any help," and all of a sudden they're like,
"They're the biggest
apologists."
Staffords. And then they're the biggest Stafford.
And winning
fans.
The Super Bowl did change many people.
Yeah, and it's weird.
It somewhat makes sense because he instantly stepped to another team and won a Super Bowl. That means something. But
he went to a loaded team.
Yeah,
his team was
a
loaded.
Team that's been building for
had
years.
Been in the Super Bowl.
But if you're a Stafford hater, you believe it's not going to happen because Matthew Stafford sucks in their opinion.
And I think it's the main reason, too, is a lot of the people that are Stafford guys, too, are now saying, like, Jared Goff is terrible because he can't throw a long ball or something. Mm-hmm. That's just the worst kind of football fans to me.
Are these Lions fans? I think all Lions fans are kind of with Jared Goff at this point.
Oh, no, I mean, some people are still against him. I'm all Jared Goff.
I'd like to talk to those people that are
He's not as flashy. Matthew Stafford was flashy, and that's what a lot of people liked.
Yeah, but that was the reason why we lost.
And it led to some real mistakes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's like 2 years ago, Matthew Stafford led the league in turnovers in the red zone.
Exactly. And this is no shade against Matt Stafford as a person. I imagine he's great. Kelly and all that seems wonderful people or whatever. But football wise, I just think all the no look throws and stuff like people.
He was a gunslinger.
Oh, and he's great. He was a good quarterback, but he wasn't. I still compare him to Carson Palmer.
Yeah,
their stats are eerily similar. Besides now that Stafford has a Super Bowl,
he had more physical talent than Carson Palmer, but
they're very similar player.
I think Arizona Carson Palmer was really good.
Oh yeah.
And Stafford not had, very turnover prone.
Stafford had a lot of seasons where he was a top 10 guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying he wasn't like, he never was
early
in that
Carson
upper.
Palmer, yeah.
He wasn't in that upper echelon of that top five. And that's what I think, what angered me all the time was his fans acted like he would have been Tom Brady if he would have been on another football team, which wouldn't have been true.
Yeah.
Is my thought.
He still would have made those same mistakes.
Exactly.
He had
the greatest receiver of all time.
Yeah.
Come on. He could just throw it up to him.
Mm-hmm. I've been on the end of defending Matthew Stafford more than I ever thought I would in my life, because I know so many people that would borderline say he was like trash.
Yeah,
so I would defend him and just be like, he's a good quarterback that does make mistakes, but he's not bad.
Yeah, I would
and
never.
Yeah, I knew several people that just say he's terrible.
I would never go in and say he was like a bust at number one or nothing. Mm-hmm. Like he was a good quarterback, but
getting
not,
the Lions
not
to three playoff
to the
games
level
is
that
impressive.
People act like,
yeah,
that's my thing.
My number two, I went back to NASCAR in this one. All of a sudden, my hate for NASCAR drivers came back out because I think that's where like I mostly ran into guys that I just did not like, because it's such a – you pick your favorite driver, and if they get wrecked by a certain guy, you're going to get mad. This guy did everything that I didn't like. Brad Keselowski is my number two.
Michigan boy.
Yes, Rochester Hills guy. So my favorite driver growing up was Rusty Wallace. He drove the number two car, Penske car. And then he retired. Kurt Busch took over. I was okay with Kurt Busch. He was fine. Then Brad Keselowski comes in. He takes over for the two car, the Penske car, which is always the car that I kind of follow. And I'm like, oh, he's from Michigan. I'll like this guy. Oh my gosh, was I wrong. He's aggressive for no reason.
So you don't like aggressive drivers.
Yeah, we
like
well,
passive.
Or you don't like overly aggressive drivers.
There's a certain extent.
Unless it's his guy. Then they can be
that's
aggressive.
Fine.
That's kind of how NASCAR works, to be honest. Because they all do that every once in a while. But Keselowski was one of those guys that just seemed like he pushed it to the edge. He's just weird when he talks. He tries to get in fights all the
He's
time.
He's weird when he Can you give me an example of that?
Weird
that sounds
talks.
So, like, bro.
It's
he
a
weird
personal.
When he talks?
He's just kind of, he's another
Give me your
one
favorite
those...
Brad Keselowski quote. One of your favorites.
I don't know. But, again, it's just the guy that
does
kinda...
he just like Does he just, like, come off as just, like, a...
Yeah.
Okay.
He just comes off, like, just odd. I don't know. And he has, he won a championship, I believe.
Yeah.
So he has one championship under his belt. And then he kind of left Penske because he thought he needed more money or whatever. And so then he, gets on another team. And now in the last 2 years, I think he started his own team and he hasn't really done a whole lot. So I'm kind of happy about that, but it's just one of those guys that like, he took over one of my favorite cars at one point and just thought I was going to like him, and I can't stand him. And it is a very personal one where it's just random, but yeah, he's my number two.
I could not like him because they drove the Miller Lite car, but that's about it.
Malik, your number one.
My number one, he was the reason, still is the reason, why I'm still trying to, I'm back to being a full-on Pistons fan. But my passion isn't where it used to be. I'm still trying to regain that fire and passion.
Wait, I think I know
that
where
I had
is.
When I was younger.
I think I know where this is going.
And
too.
This is,
yeah,
post Allen Iverson trade Joe Dumars.
It's a good one.
That move and on killed. Ever I stopped being. I literally stopped being a Pistons fan.
Mm-hmm.
The team that they were my favorite team of my favorite sport, my favorite starting five in sports history. My life was the Pistons when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he destroyed it.
In one fell swoop.
In one trade.
My life.
He built it and then he knocked it down.
Middle school going into high school, I was Kobe in the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't care about the Pistons. I wouldn't speak about them. I wouldn't think about him. I didn't care. And it was all his fault. Every move he made, mm-hmm. every decision, every draft pick, one after another, it got worse and worse. And I just, as a kid, being that much into the Pistons, that just messed with my psyche a lot. I was just like, how can you go from being this great, yeah. like six straight Eastern Conference Finals, to nothing?
Yeah.
To just basically nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I can't do this. Like, I'm getting with Kobe, this guy that's a killer, and this team that knows how to play basketball. So I jumped to the Lakers at the time.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that I was happy with Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond kind of helping the Pistons get back to somewhat respectability. But I still wasn't passionate.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, it's cool that the Pistons are kind of coming back.
Yeah.
Blake Griffin came and had a great season with the Pistons. That's cool. Yeah. The Pistons made the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, Blake Griffin, that's nice.
Our string of bringing in Allen Iverson, bringing in Tracy McGrady, bringing in Blake Derek Griffin,
Rose.
Yeah.
Josh Smith.
Yeah, don't get me started.
We are finally to a point where there are bright spots for the Pistons
mm-hmm.
and young players we can believe in. And they're making good decisions. But I'm still not. My love isn't where it was.
Yeah.
When my life was the Pistons. And I don't know if it'll get back there. I hope it can. But everything Joe Dumars did from like 07, 08 on.
Yeah.
Just killed my love for my favorite all-time team.
I specifically remember arguing with my history teacher about how the Allen Iverson trade would ruin this franchise.
Oh, my
and it was the start.
My middle school like assistant coach used to tell me that. I used to argue with him.
Yeah.
Me and some of my teammates used to say, Allen Iverson, we're going to win a championship, kids.
Mm. Yeah.
Just because it's AI and mm-hmm. he's with the Pistons. That's what we thought.
Yeah.
We should have believed him. Yeah. Our coaches told us it was terrible, and it was.
Yeah. And I had to tell my teacher that it was terrible because I was a Chauncey Billups guy, but still.
And yeah. Yeah. Joe Dumars built it all, and then he destroyed it.
Yeah. Knocked it all down.
Yeah. He destroyed my love. For the Detroit
Pistons. My first love.
Yeah. And now I'm trying to find my way back.
Dang.
Yeah.
Jordan.
Joe Dumars.
Your number one most hated athlete. Actually, or sports figure.
Right before I say my number one, I do have an honorable mention that you just brought up. It is Josh Smith.
I understand that completely.
I don't think we need to even get into
Smith,
that one.
I need to talk about one little thing with Josh Smith. The last game I ever saw at the Palace, 2014. Actually, early 2015, they played the Knicks. It was the worst basketball experience I've had in my entire life. Jason Smith went for like 30 and destroyed the Pistons. That was just one part of it.
Man, Jason Smith.
Yeah.
That's a name.
Every time Josh Smith touched the basketball, the crowd booed.
Oh, I would have been
every time
screaming.
He touched it. And he was missing layups. He was getting turnovers. The crowd was booing. They weren't playing well. The halftime show was weird. Like it was, the entire experience was just like bad from start to finish, and it was the last game I saw at the Palace.
Hmm.
And Josh Smith was a big part
and
of
Josh
it.
Smith will forever sit in our
they,
minds.
They booed him every time he touched the ball.
Yeah,
but anyway, so my number one though most hated athlete of all time, he's a commentator now, but used to play quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. Tony Romo.
He almost made
I used to hate Tony Romo because everybody else did when I was younger.
I could not. I mean, I think it's just the Cowboys in a whole, and then Tony Romo, of course, is the main guy there when I first got into football and everything. So, mm-hmm. But I don't know what it is about him. Can't stand him when he announces. I don't like that you tell me what play's coming before he snaps the football. That's not what I'm looking
for. I know some people that feel the same way. They don't want to know what's coming.
I don't need you to tell me that the motion's coming left to right and then we're going to run the ball. I don't need to know that.
I liked Tony Romo his like first maybe year or two of announcing, and it's just gotten worse ever since. But now I enjoy it for the memes that you get.
And again, though, I do think he was an overrated player as well.
Yeah.
I think he got a lot of...
Well, because he was the Cowboys quarterback.
Yeah, and I just don't... I mean, he was good. Mm-hmm. Another good quarterback, but wasn't anything special.
Yeah.
Here's my thing with Tony Romo. After he retired, I actually began to respect how good he was.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of times where I'm just sitting around and I'll go on like a stats deep dive
mm-hmm.
of like players of the past.
He had a couple of really good seasons with Miles Austin.
Tony Romo was a better quarterback than Eli Manning.
I don't know about that.
Tony Romo was a better quarterback than Eli Manning.
I'd put winning as
Eli a had two elite playoff runs.
Two rings.
But overall, Tony Romo was a better quarterback. There are many quarterbacks of the 2000s.
He might have been a better player.
Where you would take Tony Romo over. That's what I...
He wasn't a better quarterback.
Now, when it comes down to those playoff runs, Eli was incredible in those playoff runs. Which play is that? Oh, that's just Tony. That's just Tony Romo making noises. Oh, that's loose. That is definitely loose. Shouts out to Tony Romo, man. But, yeah, after, like, doing deep dives of the past, Tony Romo was better than a bunch of quarterbacks of the 2000s. Though he would come up short so many times, I can only blame him so much. A few of them were his fault. The other ones, I don't think they were all his fault.
Did he go play anywhere else?
No.
It was just the Cowboys?
I saw this just a few days ago, and I completely forgot, like,
was it for the some Broncos? Reason.
There was a rumor that he was going to sign with the Texans before he retired. Hmm. But then he chose to go be an analyst.
No, I'm thinking of Kyle Orton, who went with the Broncos and the Cowboys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was much better than Kyle Orton.
Now, Kyle Orton had
Kyle
style,
Orton started
though.
For a few teams.
Kyle Orton had the baggy sleeves. one of my favorites for the quarterback.
He was like the Ryan Fitzpatrick of his day.
Yeah, exactly.
Just put Kyle in. Let's see what happens. Just put Kyle in.
Oh, boy. My number one is no surprise, no doubt. It's easy. I won't linger on it. It's Reggie Jackson.
Nice.
Literally the same reasons Jordan pointed out.
He is like the epitome of a bad basketball player in your head.
It's something I can't get past. He represents everything I don't like about basketball players. He played for my favorite team. He was a part of that terrible era of basketball for the Pistons. And it just... I feel bad that I hate the guy so much because, you know, he's just a guy. But it's just, it's so bad. I couldn't stand it. I think people thought, especially with Chris, me knowing Chris for so long, Chris being a huge Reggie Jackson fan, and I just hated him.
Chris, he enjoyed the sad boy era, so there's was, only so much.
It was
yeah,
his.
Yeah, that's sad.
It was his era. Yeah. It was his era.
Listen, love him, but he has Greg a Peyton Siva jersey.
Yeah, but so we would always go back and forth about Reggie and about how good Reggie was or how good he wasn't. And I'm just glad that I think as his career has gone on, he's turned into what his value is for a team, and that's a bench warmer.
Wow.
His spurt with the Clippers when they made the Western Conference Finals for the first time in franchise history, and he was the starting point guard in those playoffs. What does that mean?
I couldn't get behind that because he started wearing goggles.
Yeah,
so I had
issues. He had eye problems.
He's a starting point guard for a playoff team. I don't know. Was he the reason they got there?
He was a big reason. He was like the third best player on a Clippers Western Conference Finals team, which is a one-time thing in NBA history.
But what other players were on his team?
Tim and Paul George doing everything. I think Kawhi Leonard was hurt when they made the Western Conference Finals, right? That was the year Phoenix. Phoenix and Milwaukee in the finals.
We can look up the Clippers history.
Reggie Jackson.
I don't follow Reggie Jackson's career. That's,
and I was happy when he was doing against Rudy Gobert. That made me happy because I don't like Rudy Gobert.
Nothing that Reggie Jackson.
Put him
yeah,
on
Rudy Gobert
list.
Could go on the list.
I should have put him on honorable mention.
Nothing that Rudy or that Reggie Jackson does impresses me. I don't know. I'm sorry, but that's who it is. That's my number one. All right, this was fun, but we've run out of time. Thank you, Jordan, for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me.
We'll try to do a couple more fun episodes, so maybe we'll have more people come back. But other than that, it is crazy storming outside, and this has been Views from the Sidelines. We'll see you guys next time.
Reggie Jackson wasn't that bad. And neither was Tony Romo.
I'd put Russell Westbrook in there, too, if I could. Oh.